have to say, when you signed Ty, I was thinking, oh, he's played really well against us before a few times, and I was. But sometimes that happens with York City players. You think, wow, we're signing, he's brilliant, and then they put on a red shirt and they're absolutely crap. And I have to say, I'm delighted that you've just notched your ninth of the season. So yeah, Ty Sinclair, really happy to have you here. So first of all, I think it was your birthday yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How old?
24.
Makes you sick, doesn't it? And I thought I'd start by asking about your dad's influence. I am old enough to remember watching him in cup finals and stuff like that. And I presume that you might have been too young to see him play. I couldn't work out timelines whether you would have seen him play.
Yeah, I didn't watch him at Chelsea. I weren't born. But I was born when he signed for Leicester. And right. From there.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, was football always going to be your destiny then, having a dad who played in the game? And was that kind of driven through when you were young?
Yeah, I felt like, obviously, being in and around football from birth, I was going to his games from young, and just little things like him taking me into changing rooms and playing on the pitches after the games made me fall in love with the game. And yeah, and from there, I never looked back, really.
And I think he coached you as well at Ratcliffe, is that right? Were you on loan there? What was that like, having him coaching you?
Yeah, so when I was a youth teamer, went on loan to Radcliffe Borough, where he was the assistant manager. That was good. It was what, like, looking back, it was probably one of the best things I did, because I got introduced to men's football from early. And yeah, it weren't a typical, like, dad looking after son. It was the opposite.
Right.
If anything went bad, it was my fault to him. So
that's why you're only on loan. And your dad regularly comes and watches games, doesn't he? He obviously is a big supporter of you, and you know, he seems to really love his time coming to LNER.
Yeah, definitely. He tries to get to as many games as possible. Obviously, he's busy doing what he has to do as well. But yeah, he definitely tries to get down when he can. Obviously, he gets on with like the board quite well as well. So yeah. He likes to show his support. And,
Good stuff. And you're a very different player to him, I have to say. So who did you sort of model your game on growing up? Who was an influence on you?
I support Chelsea, so obviously I grew up watching the likes of Drogba and the header at the weekend.
Drogba. The header on Saturday was based on Drogba.
No, fair enough. But yeah, now I just grew up like the likes of Hazard and stuff like that, and Neymar's and people like that. That's who I grew up.
Watching. And then, as I mentioned before, you had several good games against us, and not just for Rochdale. I remember you coming against us for Altrincham as well. And did you ever come off the pitch and sort of think this will be a good place to play in the future? Did players think like that?
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, every time I come here, the fans, the big fan base, and the nice new stadium, nice pitch, and stuff like that. It was definitely appealing to me. Obviously, I had a bit of a... when I scored the two penalties, obviously I had a bit of stick but no, it was definitely an appealing club. And then, obviously, when it was in the line to get done in the summer, it was a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, because I think there was a few clubs interested in saying, was it a tough decision, or...?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I had interest from the league and from League One clubs and stuff like that, but I still thought the direction of this club wanted to take, and it had all the foundations to really kick on and be one of them League One teams in a few years, I've got no doubt.
I hope so. And so many goals to discuss. I mean, your first one at Solihull, which was a bit of a key game, and I think a statement win at the time. You play with a lot of swagger and confidence, but was it quite a big thing to get off the mark at that point in the season?
Yeah, definitely. I've always put pressure on myself to score goals. So, like, in my own head, I want to score every game. So I think, I can't remember what game it was into the season, but obviously I didn't get that first goal for the first couple of games, and I was adding more pressure to myself. So yeah, when them two goals went in, it was, felt like the world just come off my shoulders, really. It's a big game, obviously. Solihull, we knew they'll be up there this season, so yeah, I was happy that they went in.
And my favourite goal was the Maidenhead one. I think that was probably my favourite goal of the season. I think the way you kind of, the brilliant first touch, But then I was sort of thinking there, but then obviously you've got the Boston one that was fantastic and the one at Wickham away. But fantastic individual goals. Is there a kind of favourite one for yourself? What sort of goals do you prefer scoring? Is it the Drogba type headers on Saturday?
They all count. I'll take them all, to be fair. But I'd probably say the Maidenhead one as well. I did like that one. Got one from Batty and then, took a good touch and then seen the keeper off his line. So.
Yeah. And I think you got 11 goals for Rochdale last season, and you're on to 9 already for York. So do you set goal target? I know you said you want to score every game, but is there a sort of a target at the start of the season? Because wingers are a bit different to strikers, aren't they, in terms of like getting a certain amount?
I expect myself, I put up probably a number between 15 to 20 a season. Obviously, I've got 11 at Rochdale, but I missed I think half a season through injury. So that happened at a bad time, but obviously I'm 9 now, so I'm definitely on track, but it's obviously getting to an important part of the season now as well, so if I can chip in with more goals, then happy days.
And you chipped in on Saturday. I mean, it was a great team goal, wasn't it, and a fantastic cross by Joe Felix. Do you just kind of know that once he's sort of got that ball there? Because I think his crossing ability is fantastic, Joe. I think he's really kind of on the money. In fact, I said that, didn't I, Paul, at Boston away, and then he spooned one out of the ground. I was like, why did I say that? But other than that, he's normally pretty on the money, isn't he, Joe? Does that kind of help you as players to kind of know, right, if I get into this position, he's going to be able to find me?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we know what Joe is. He's a runner. He won't stop all game. And I know when he gets into that final third, he likes to cross the ball. He works on it. Off every day in training, so I know it's my role to be in that back stick, just in case it does come out to me, and Saturday it did. Just got to keep getting into them areas and keep chipping in.
And what was the dressing room like after the game? Obviously going down to 10 men and then scoring so late, better late than never. Tough crowd, too soon. What was it like? What was the scenes like? I mean, because obviously that is, what champions do, what promotion teams do. They score late goals and they can kind of dig in when the going gets tough. What was it like? Was it elation? Was it relief? What was it?
It was definitely relief. A couple of decisions were going against us, and we're thinking, is it just one of them days where it's not going to work out? And then obviously we get the penalty last minute, and I don't think we've had many decisions like that go our way. To get that penalty and then Hunty to slot it away as cool as he did was definitely relief to everyone. And obviously it was a big win because obviously Barnet a couple of points ahead now. So if we had dropped 3 points, it'd have
been massive. It'd have been a more
psychological battle. It was definitely relief.
He's not leaving because of that comment I said. I was only joking. Just trying to lighten the mood. Do you as players sort of keep tabs on other results? So you mentioned there about Barnet, but obviously Forest Green playing last night, and I'm sure a lot of us were refreshing the page or whatever, or watching it on DAZN. Do you guys just focus on yourselves and kind of...
Now, obviously, you're going to have a look every now and then. But I feel like we've got it in us where it's still in control. So it's all about us kind of thing, and we concentrate on what we can do. Every now and then you can have a look. It's only
human.
And obviously they're picking up results, quite a lot of them in the last minutes and stuff like that.
It's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Adams almost says he wants kind of 4 wingers, and the idea is that two can run themselves into the ground for 60, 70 minutes and bring another 2 on. Did you kind of know that when you signed? Are you someone who wants to play every minute of every game?
I knew, obviously, they had big expectations this year, so obviously we knew we was going to have a good squad and stuff like that. I'm a player who doesn't like to play. I feel like I play my best when I'm playing, got a rhythm and stuff like that. Obviously I knew if you want to be a successful, you've got to be in a successful team. And if you look at the likes of Man City's, the Chelsea's, the Liverpool's, they've all got massive squads.
Yeah.
And everyone's entitled to play. So come through the game, I guess.
Fair enough. And what's it like playing for Adam? I know you're a relatively young player, but you've had quite a few loan spells here and there, so you've played for quite a lot of managers, haven't you? And what, how does he compare, and what's your relationship like with him?
Yeah, I've had quite a, looking back, I've had quite a lot of old school managers. Obviously, and then we've got Gaffer now, who's younger. But like, I feel like he understands the players a lot more. He's very demanding, don't get me wrong. Like, he's very demanding. But I feel like, because we've got such a young squad, I think that's the only way to be, to keep on top of us, because as young players, you're going to sometimes try and slack off or stuff like that, but he don't allow any of that. So, yeah, no, he's definitely the best manager I've
That's good. And you played in the Football League with Mansfield. Do you have ambitions to, you mentioned there you could have signed for a league club in the summer. Do you have ambitions to kind of get higher up the pyramid? And
yeah, definitely. And I don't see why it can't be with York. Like, we showed, even against the likes of Wickham, yeah, who are top of League One, like, we can go toe-to-toe with them. So we definitely back ourselves to be able to go and give anyone a good game in the leagues. So yeah, that's definitely the ambition to be back in the leagues and hopefully with York.
And that's similar mentality what you were saying, Derek, about when you were there. And song initiations, I was just talking to Malachi in the bar there. What, lots of you signed in the summer. What, I've never heard someone said, oh, you never ask them about kind of things they're doing for the season. What's your kind of choice of song? And are you much of a singer?
I can't remember what I sang. What did I sing? I think I might have sung Bob Marley. Three Little Birds.
Nice. Good track.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So, best of luck for the rest of the season. You know, I hope you can continue kind of what you're doing. You've given us so many great moments this season. Like I say, like, you've got all of the season highlights reel just for yourself, I think, but with the team. So, Tyree Sinclair, everyone. You ready?
Yeah.
You sure? I think all of us in this room, we're absolutely delighted that you signed permanently. I think we didn't think it was possible. So I want to get on to in a bit, like, how we persuaded you to do that. But before we do that, I don't think we've ever had anyone down here who's played in the Champions League, but you did with Spurs, and I know it was only a short time on the pitch, but that must have been a fantastic kind of memory and experience for you.
Yeah. I think I was on for about 7 minutes, but like, I think it was the warm up that got me. Like, it was surreal. Like, you hear the music, the Champions League music that you grow up listening to. You go out for the warm up, you're running across the pitch. There's what, 60 odd thousand fans in there, and it's crazy. I remember it exactly the same in about 20 years' time. I'll never forget the moment, it was unbelievable.
And were you nervous? Were you, how? Because obviously, when you're young, you often take stuff in your stride. But how were you feeling before you went on?
No, I wasn't nervous at all, because Mourinho just told me to go and clamp someone and get a yellow card.
Yeah. And did you?
No, I tried to, but I didn't.
And that was my next question, was about Jose Mourinho, the special one. We all have a kind of perception of him, but what is he like? Behind the scenes, is it kind of what you see is what you get? Is he different? What was he like to play for?
No, it's what you see, you get. Like, he's no different. He's a bit weird, but like, it's a good weird sort of thing. He's done some weird things, like after training, like he'll sit opposite me with his feet on my feet and we'll just talk. And I was thinking like, what?
Is there other people in the room at the same time?
No, it's on the pitch.
Oh, sorry, right.
So, like, you finish training, I take my boots off and just sit. This was, like, during COVID.
Oh, okay, right.
And we're just sitting down and he'd come and say, like, sit there, like, put his feet on my feet, we'll have a chat. I think it's a bit weird, but it's just me. It's Mourinho.
I don't know how to carry on, though. I mean, you were playing in and around the first team for quite a period, so which players sort of stand now are having an impact on your career, and second to that? Harry Kane or Ollie Pearce? Finishing.
Ollie Pearce. Yeah, so brilliant. I'd say Jan Vertonghen, Toby Alderweireld, Eriksen played a big part, and Heung-min Son. I feel like I played against him quite a bit in training, and like he would tell me, like he would pull me to the side and be like, you can't do that, you can't do this, and like he'll really talk me through some things, and like I was really grateful for that. But Lendi King, when I was with the first team for quite a bit, he probably helped me the most. Like he was on the staff with Mourinho, and he would like go through all my clips, 21 games clips, training clips, and like he helped me quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean Ledley was an incredible player, wasn't he? And I think mentioned there with Derek about the impact of professional sport on your body. I mean Ledley, I don't think trained, did he, but somehow played on the weekend and was incredible. We'll obviously get to Yoxic very soon, but I wanted to ask you about your international career as well. You represented England in the 17s, and I think you went to a Euros with him as well. And teammates like Cole Palmer, Morgan Rogers as well. And in one of the games, I saw you played France, who had a number 10 called Zidane, who I looked up and it was only his son. So they must have been incredible experiences as well.
Yeah, we got knocked out in the group stage, but it was some good players there, like really good. And I think when you're in that England setup, when you're playing with them, like when you're training with them, you can kind of tell who's going to go where, because some are just unbelievable. Like you're playing with Jude Bellingham, Jamal Musiala, like they were unbelievable, and they were a year below me at the time playing up.
Right.
But I got a yellow card because I think I punched Zidane's son in the face.
Did Mourinho tell you to do it? And I think Cole Palmer was playing left back, wasn't he? I was trying to show some of the formations.
He was a bit smaller back then.
Right.
So he just, I don't know where he was playing. I can't remember, to be fair.
Yeah, fair enough. And since then, you've had some time on at Cardiff and on loan in Scotland, and before you joined York on a season long loan. How did that move kind of come about to York, and how much did you know about York City before you signed for us?
I didn't know anything. I was in Scotland the year before, and then I came back to Cardiff. We spoke a bit, I'd done pre season, and then I asked them, like, what's the plan? Can I go on loan or can I stay? And they were like, no, like, you're staying here. And then on deadline day, they told me, like, you can go and loan. And then my agent said, we can go to York. And I said, that's very far. Like, it's north, I don't want to go up north.
And you have just been to Scotland, though, the year before. Yeah, not as far.
That's like an hour plane.
Right.
This is far. I said, no, I'll stay down here. And he was like, no, like, go to York, it's a good club. And I said, I'll have a look at like, how they play on YouTube. Liked what I saw, and then I said to him, I still don't want to go, but it's a good club. And then he was like, no, like, just give it a go. So I said, all right, I'll go. And I got there, and it was a really good club. I really enjoyed it.
Thank God for that. I mean, the fans took to you straight away. I mean, having been in London, Wales and Scotland, were you looking for a bit of stability in your kind of career at this stage?
Yeah, I just wanted to play, really. Like, as a centre-half, you can't really just come on and score and then get a move. Like, some players can just come on, last 20, just get some goals in, and then you can get a move. And I can't do that as a centre-half, so I wanted to just play games. So coming here knowing that I could play, I was like, yeah, like, it's a good club. They trust me. Like, I didn't have many games before coming here, so they like what they see. They can trust me. It'll be a good move to go. So that's what I did.
And you say you can't come on and score goals, but the next one was about the Halifax game, obviously. Getting the equaliser. You've forgotten that, haven't you?
Yeah.
I was going to say, what was it like, that feeling, scoring in front of that packed away end, if you can remember it?
No, I remember the game. I just forgot I scored. But the game... No, it was unbelievable. Like, I have to say that we were horrible for majority of the game, but like, we didn't give up. We kept going, and that away end was unbelievable. The carnage that was caused after the game, never been involved in something like it. It was brilliant.
It was special. And at what point did you think this could be a permanent move? You'd obviously got over the distance. How far it was to York? What? Was it Adam kind of in your ear? Was it Matt Ugler? What was it that made you kind of start thinking about staying permanently?
No, I just quite enjoyed it. I got along with the boys quite well. And then my agent obviously spoke to me and said, like, how would you feel and I was like, that is giving me an opportunity to showcase what I can do. I'm playing, and like, I get along with the boys, unbelievable, so I don't mind coming to play for York and taking a step down from the Championship, because like, I like the fans, they show me love, and I love playing in front of the fans, so I can do it. So I just said to my agent, like, let's make it happen.
Yeah, and have that ever seen to sort of reveal the length of contract season? But I understand it's very long term, so has that enabled you to kind of relax and sort of focus on your football more than previously where you've been here and there on loan and stuff?
Yeah, it's difficult when you're somewhere for 6 months and then you're moving again and you're moving again. Once you can like settle down, get a place, you don't have to focus about that anymore. It's just what you do on the pitch, and like when I knew the distance and like how long the contract was, I said, yeah, like I can really settle down and kick on.
Yeah. And Gary Elphick and Alan Hitchell are both former centre-halves. So have they kind of influenced your career? Have they changed anything to your game? Or
Gaz has, yeah. Do a lot of work with him, and we like talk a lot of like, and we'll go through clips and stuff. And then I actually didn't know that Gaff was a centre-half.
What's on now?
No, I found out a few weeks ago. But I didn't know that before. But I haven't. I speak to guys more about like defending and stuff. Gaffer really helps me when I'm like on the ball and like, seeing pictures and stuff, and he's helped me be a bit more calm than I already am. But guys with the defending and like winning headers and stuff, and Callum Howe, to be fair, he helped me quite a bit.
Yeah, well, he's my next one. Next question was about Callum Howe. You seem to have struck up like a really good partnership, and I wondered, like with centre halves, like you obviously you played alongside different people. Is it kind of things that you work on, or is there certain partnerships where it just you just kind of complement each other?
I think it's just it just happens. Like you get that bond with someone the more you play with them, and then it just happens, and like you understand how he plays, he understands how I play, I understand like I've got to be in certain positions because he doesn't do this well, or and like over time you just because you play with each other so much. People see it as a great partnership, but it's just because we've gelled so well together.
Yeah, and the Oldham goal as well, hope you remember that one. Again, popping up with a crucial away goal, clinical from a couple of yards out. What's your memories of that kind of game and that goal?
Oh, that was a good game. Very good game. I like that game. Yeah, I knew that goal, I knew Huntley, like, from a free kick, he's going to get it over the wall, he's going to get it on target. So I knew that if I just anticipate this before they do, then there's a chance I could score it. So I just gambled, really. Yeah. It just fell to my foot. But that game was brilliant. Considering that the last one, like how it got cancelled and everything, and how big the game was away to Oldham, I think we done well, and like the atmosphere afterwards was buzzing.
Yeah, no, it was a great thought. I think Oldham and Halifax would be up there. Some of my kind of all time, I think. It's been an incredible season so far. Similar to Tyrese, I wish you very best of luck going forward this season, and you know, hopefully we can clinch promotion. We're going to have a little break now, and then people can kind of have the mic and ask their own questions. But yeah, give it up for these three boys. Thank you. Okay, we'll get Dr. Chadwick up now. So Billy, I was looking at your early career and your time at Hull City and saw that you played at Elland Road when Hull knocked Leeds out of the League Cup. You scored in a penalty shootout, and I was thinking, oh, what the crowd was, I'm saying this to him in the bar, and it was zero. Then I remembered, obviously, it was back when it was COVID time, so it must have been still a good experience to kind of be, you were quite involved in that Hull team early. And Dan Batty was as well, he scored in the same shootout, and even though it was COVID times and these grounds were kind of empty, it must have been a really good experience early on in your career.
No, yeah, obviously I come through at Hull and all I wanted to do was play for my hometown club, so that year was probably my favourite time at Hull. Obviously we got promoted from League One, and yeah, to score against Leeds, the rivals, meant everything to me.
Yeah. So how was it taking a penalty when there's no crowd? Is it kind of just you and the keeper then? You're not kind of, compared to like a different situation where you've got the crowd there, is it easier almost, or was it surreal or harder?
To be fair, the keeper was saying a lot of stuff to me before the penalty, so normally you can't really hear him, so yeah, I was able to let it went in.
And another good experience must have been when you were playing on loan at Linfield. They're obviously a huge club in Ireland, and I think you scored in Europe for them as well.
Yeah, again, obviously Grant McCann was in charge at Hull, and he used to be at Linfield. And I was a striker back then, and the manager was David Healy, so he said that you'll learn a lot going to play over there. And yeah, I think it was the Champions League qualifiers or something like
that. Yeah, I couldn't pronounce the team that you heard. Yeah, so again, another good experience for you. And I think you did your ACL whilst over there, didn't you? And an injury that kept you out for nearly a year, which must have been a real blow to you, because clearly I could see that your career was taking off massively, yeah. And you know, really well liked at Hull, and that must have been a real blow to you at the time.
No, obviously I've done my ACL twice. I did it when I was playing for school when I was young, and then I got back, found my form again, and then to do it again obviously was frustrating, but again, I'm thankful of Hull, obviously. Did all my rehab there and got me back here, so.
You were clearly really highly thought of at Hull. I saw Grant McCann do an interview where he couldn't have sung your praises anymore. I think it was like a 5-minute segment of him just talking about you. I don't know if you've seen it before. But was it the injury that really stalled your progress then at Hull? Is that what kind of scuppered it, really?
Yeah, I think so. I think I went on loan to Halifax, come back. He watched a few of my games and he was really impressed. And then I started to get my chance, and then obviously to do me so it was frustrating, but then again I'm still so thankful of them because they got me back. At most places, some people don't come back from that injury, so yeah.
Yeah, you know. It's been really difficult. And you rebuilt your career at Boston on loan and scored some absolute pearls for them. Again, you know, I've managed to find a YouTube montage of your goals from that season, including one that was voted as goal of the season, away at Leamington, I think it was. Which if anyone hasn't seen, I'd implore you to kind of go check it out. You volleyed it from pretty much just inside their half, well over the keeper's head. Was that just instinctively set up? Did you know that the keeper was coming off his line quite a bit? What's the thought process?
I tend to check it a lot in games. I was the keeper's starting position, and yeah, luckily I saw it was off his line from early in the game and thought, you know what, I'll have a shot, and yeah, went in.
But are you thinking about that earlier on in the game, or was it just in that split second when it bubbles up? Or
no, since I was young, I always like check up the keeper's starting position, see if he's off his line a lot. It's on him a lot more than what people think. I think Ollie tried it the other day and it was really close. So yeah.
So Forest Green Saturday, he goes on. Off starts, maybe. You signed for Stockport as well, and but moved pretty quickly to Gateshead on loan, which included playing two games against us over Christmas, and then signed permanently for us the next day. I still can't quite get my head around it, looking back. Did you know you were signing for us? Did Gateshead know you were signing? Did the York players you were playing against that day know you were signing?
I don't think Gateshead did, but I think the York players did, yeah. I think I was talking to Fowles after the first game and he said, are you coming? And I said, oh, I think so, but I've got to play you again, so.
So the next question with that is that you nearly scored in the first minute as well. So would you have celebrated? What would you like, oh, out of respect for my new club? Shit, I didn't realise I was...
Honestly, I don't know.
Do you remember that by chance? You're not
just
went right.
Wide, yeah.
So, I mean, I know that you were... It was Neil Ardley that signed you, but I felt kind of Adam coming in suited your game better. I don't know if that's a fair observation.
No, 100%. When the gaffer come in now, he plays the football I like to play. I like, obviously, to keep the ball moving and stuff like that. And yeah, I feel like back end of last year, that's when I was playing my best football here.
Yeah, definitely. And you scored twice in Adam's first game in charge as well. Was that just almost like the shackles were off because he was a new manager? And
yeah, 100%. I started to, under Adley, I was playing out wide a lot, and then when the gaffer came in, he played me in the 10, and I think that's where I thrived most.
Yeah, in the 10 position, yeah. And I think a lot of us block out last season. I think like it was almost like, you know, it was such a long season that kind of, you know, it was really difficult. But you scored a real crucial goal versus Woking. Was that kind of your favourite moment of the season? Yeah. And right in front of the South Stand as well. And obviously, I know you got the two in Adam's first game, but it was a defeat, wasn't it? Was that kind of your best goal last season?
Yeah, that was probably my favourite game in Yorkshire. Obviously, that was when the crowds were getting back big again, and yeah, meant everything that got.
Yeah, and you got goal of the month in August as well against Tamworth, and you're a real mainstay in the side early doors. Has it been difficult to sort of be on the fringes since then?
Yeah, it's obviously the season's been difficult, but the lads have been doing so well, so I've just tried to be as positive as I can, just keep hopefully by my time, and hopefully my chance comes.
Yeah, and Adam clearly rates you. You know, sometimes you can see a player that's out of the team and a manager will be in the press, and you can sort of almost read between the lines, can't you? You think, that person isn't part of that manager's plans, and you can kind of, but I don't feel like that with Adam. I feel like when Adam talks about you, it's a bit like Grant McCann at Hull. It's managers don't love you. But it's kind of, you know, he's been genuine. I think he does really rate you, and he does want you as part of that squad. So that must mean be easier for you on the fringes when you're not starting.
No, yeah, obviously the lads are all brilliant as well. I feel like this year, especially compared to last year, that everyone's gets on so well with each other. So I think I'd be stupid to obviously throw my arms in the air, obviously the position we're in the league. Yeah. So I'm keep my head down, crack on, and hopefully that time comes.
Yeah, and does Adam reassure you of you sort of being part of his plans? Does he pull you to one side? Or, you know, thinking like the Oldham game as well, you came on and helped control that game, made a real big impact. Is it?
Yeah, I've had one-to-one talks with him. He tells me what he wants and stuff like that. It's just about me getting my head down and showing why I think I should be playing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, when you get the 50-yard lob over keeper then on Saturday, it'll be in. What's your kind of aim for the rest of the season, personally, Ben? And after, I think you've got another year on your deal after this, is that right?
Yeah, obviously, I'm just going to keep working hard, and if my chance comes, hopefully I'll take it. But if not, like I said, I'll just keep my head down, keep working hard, and hopefully we'll get promoted.
Yeah, and longer term, are you excited to become a doctor? None of that's going to give?
No, he's right, I should obviously use what I can while I can.
Yeah, great stuff. Oh, you'll get a chance, obviously, to ask Billy some questions later on, but Billy Chapwick, everyone.
Thank you.
Football's a game of opinions, and players often divide opinions, but now and again you get ones that literally everyone instantly takes a liking to and agrees is brilliant. And Joe, I think you fit into that category. I don't know a York fan who doesn't like love you. So that's my big introduction for you. So Joe Felix. I'm also really glad as well, because it shuts Graham up, who's been saying for weeks, when are you going to get Joe down, as if I control the players? I mean, did you just run here tonight? I was just... Where do you get your energy from? I mean, last night, I think it was like the 85th minute or something like that. They brought a sub on who was obviously fresh legs. He tried to do like a running race with you, and you just sort of jogged along, nipped it off him. And how? Is it natural? Is it that you're putting just extra fitness in? What? How do you do it?
I just want it more, you know. I'm hungry, and I just want to just do my best for the team and work as hard. That's what I try to do, so yeah.
I'm hungry as well, but I get a stitch running up the stairs. Honestly, it's unbelievable. What was your take on the game last night? Obviously, it was a difficult one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a tough game. You know, it was a tough one. I thought that we had some chances, but on another day, we scored 4 or 5, but it's what it is. We just have to keep moving forward and can't dwell on the past. We have to keep looking to Saturday, sorry.
Yeah, I won't dwell on it too much, but... You had that one-on-one battle with Regan Linney, which I thought was really interesting. Did you know that he... I didn't quite know that he does play out wide. I thought he was kind of an out-and-out striker. Did you know before the game he was going to be playing on the left?
No, I'm not really too sure. I don't really focus on who I'm playing against. I just know that I have to do my job for the team, and I'm just kind of fearless of whoever I play against. So, yeah, I was quite confident and, you know, get the better of him.
Yeah. Well, you're quicker than everyone, aren't you? That kind of helps. You played central midfield against Halifax as well, which I think some people thought was a bit left field, but you grew up, didn't you? I remember when we talked before, but you played for QPR and Fulham quite a lot in central midfield when you were a youngster. So are you just happy? I know you're quite happy to play anywhere, but where would you say is your best position? Because you've literally played everywhere but in goal, I think, this season.
Yeah, I'd probably say full-back, playing right-back is probably my favourite position, but I just love the game so much that wherever I play, I just try to give 100%, and yeah. When I play midfield, I enjoy it because I get to work that press and different stuff in my game that I get to add in. So, yeah.
Yeah. And last night was obviously a setback. And I wanted to kind of talk about your career setbacks as well, because you haven't had it easy to get to the position you're in now. And I can imagine when you're at QPR and Fulham and clubs like that, you're probably dreaming of going on and playing in the Premier League or the Championship. And then... when you're released, I don't know what the aftercare, I mean, Pat would probably know with the PFA, I don't know what the aftercare is like, but I imagine that's quite crushing to a lot of young people. And I know that faith is really important to you. I know that your mum's a huge influence on you. Do you think without those kind of two things in your life, you might have easily just kind of drifted out again?
Yeah, definitely, you know. My mum pushed me, and she made sure that, like, for me to believe in God and stuff like that, that's just part of my religion and stuff, and I just kept going, you know. I didn't lose faith in myself. It was just hard, the transition of like being a full-time footballer, and then having to go into part-time, having to find a job to make sure I look after my family and stuff like that. But I still chased my dream, even though I knew like I was a teacher and stuff like that. And yeah, I just kept going and kept training, doing extras, 5 o'clock in the morning, wake up, do jogs. And yeah, I'm just thankful that it's
that, that doesn't surprise me.
Your long league journey as well, there's a fair few clubs in there, wasn't there? So I imagine many are kind of regretting not keeping you. It felt, sort of looking as an outsider, that Dulwich Hamlet was a really good move for you. I know that they got relegated, and that sounds me bizarre saying that, but you got player of the year, I think you got goal of the season as well. Again, if you can check that out on YouTube, you literally got the ball against Dover in his own half and just decided to run full pelt. And you can imagine him kind of doing that for York as well. It was a great goal, and you just sort of lifted over keeper at the end. It was great.
Yeah, I was at Torquay, and I was having a bad time at Torquay. I wasn't really playing. And then when I went to Dulwich, I basically went back home to Dulwich in South London, where I live. And when you're close to home, you end up feeling better and stuff. And I felt like that was when I was gaining confidence. Sorry, and playing my best football. And yeah, I'm just thankful that obviously I done my bit at Dulwich and Hamlet, and then that's when I then went on to Worthing after that. So yeah, it was good at Dulwich.
Before we get to that, Dulwich lost 6-0 at Worthing. I know you didn't play in that game, so we had that conversation, but did that kind of leave a lasting impression, thinking, wow, we've been blitzed by these? I'd quite like to be part of that.
So I first played Worthing earlier in the season, and I just remember them playing like total football. And it's always been on my mind. I never really played against a team, especially lower down, that played football. I think it was against Harrison Mills in goal as well. Ollie was playing. Yeah, it was just different, you know. And I feel like I've been to so much teams in non-league, and it was more of a case of I wasn't really playing football, and I couldn't really show the best of me. And then when I found out that obviously Worthing wanted me, knowing how they play and stuff, and I thought that yeah, this would be my best opportunity to, you know, get the best out of me as well. So yeah.
And did you think when Hinch came to York that there might be a possibility of you following him, or was that just kind of are you focused on Worthing, and then the end of the season you're out of contract and that's how it works?
Yeah, do you know what? It's a funny story, because I was actually on my way to training. I got a train on my way to training, and then I saw it out on social, and then and he was in the training ground saying goodbye, but my train was delayed, so I couldn't get to say goodbye. So then I come into training and as normal and stuff. But yeah, you know, I was just focused on what I had to do. I couldn't think too far ahead or whatever. I just thought, look, I'm having a good season here. I just have to get my head down. And thankfully, you know, he trusted me and brought me here. So
yeah. And was it easy to settle at York? You mentioned there about London, you know, it's easier when you're around home and everything like that. But obviously, York's quite a distance from London. So was it easier to settle because of the Worthing kind of contingent that was already in place?
It was easier because a few of the players that I played with were here with me. And obviously I knew the managers or the gaffer, so it was easier for me. But at the same time, I still had to get to know everyone else in the team, and I had to like earn my respect as well by working hard and obviously showing that I'm here to win as well. So it was quite easy, but I did work hard and show everyone what I'm capable of doing. So
yeah, I'm sure. And as I mentioned in the intro, I feel like the whole supporter base kind of took to your style and your passion straight away. Did you kind of feel that with the South Stand? I know you seem to have a real close bond with the supporters.
Yeah, it was really good. I just, you know, when you give your all out on the pitch and the fans like scream your name and they're cheering you on, it just gives you more. You just want to give more to them, if that makes sense. So the one time I remember, I think it was against the Tamworth, when I did a tackle and I celebrated the tackle and the whole fans just went mad. And yeah, it's just stuff like that gets you goosebumps. So yeah, it's really nice.
We've had a lot of players before who can't tackle. That's, you know, it was refreshing for us, to be honest, Joe. Thank you. And a winning player of the month for like something like the first 6 months of the season, that obviously helps. Well, do you kind of appreciate it more because you have had quite a lot of rejection in early on in your career, whether it's QPR, Fulham or Torquay? Do you feel like you're almost embracing that because of what you've been through? And you know, it's not like York are your first club and you're thinking this is what it's like at every club sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, I look back and I just think all of it was worth it, you know, all the failures and rejection and people say I'm too small, I use it to motivate me. So when I get praise and when people say to me that you're doing well, whatever, I just I don't really take notice of it. I still got a lot more that I want to show and a lot more that I want to do in this game. So yeah, just keep working hard and just take day by day. So yeah.
And having just survived last season, expectations were quite manageable going into the campaign, I would say. But which game did you sort of think as players, you know, what we can have a real go at? Was there any particular game where you thought, or was it in pre-season, was it that you thought, oh, this group of players we can... Because there was a lot of kind of, with all due respect, to a lot of players come from lower levels and kind of people were thinking, well, if we come mid-table, that's a success. But... You know, there was quite a lot of players, even like Ollie, you know, got a lot of goals in National League South, but there was still some kind of, yeah. You know, people saying, oh, can he do it at the level above? I think team altogether proved a lot of people wrong.
You know, from when we started pre-season, I looked around and I knew instantly that we'll do well. And I was confident, especially with how the gaffer wants us to play and the players that we had around in the squad and stuff and what I knew of the players, I knew that we'll do well. And yeah, I was just confident. I think everyone believed in ourselves. So we knew automatically that, yeah, we'll win this season. So let's hope that we get promoted again.
Yeah, and definitely. And I feel like one of the things that impresses me the most is that every time we've had a defeat, you seem to have been able to come back with a result. You know, but I don't think there's been any back-to-back defeats all season. And how do you guys do that? You know, thinking like Barnet, a lot of us... I'd spent a lot of time getting to London, it was a long trip back, and you know, everyone's deflated, but I imagine that's even doubly so for the players. So how do you guys kind of pick yourself up and are able to get that last minute equaliser against Halifax a few days later?
I just shows good togetherness in the team, you know. We all stick by each other no matter what, and yeah, I just feel like whatever happens in the game, we just try to do our best, and yeah, thankfully, you know, the Halifax, we scored in the last minute or so. So yeah, we just have to keep pushing towards the end of the game. So yeah,
they must hate us, Halifax. Isn't it? When I wrote all these questions down last week, a lot of it was going to be about how you'd played every minute of every game. But then obviously Saturday you were sub. Yeah. Was that because there's been illness in the camp? Was that because you run everywhere and you probably need a little bit of a break now and again? How did Adam kind of?
Yeah, you know, the gaffer wanted to use the whole squad as he said, and then yeah, and it thankfully it worked out. I trust what the gaffer wants me to do, and if he makes changes, then you know I believe in our team, so I'm just always ready whenever. And yeah, I just think it was just the case of what gaffer thought would win the game, and it did. So yeah, I trust him, and he definitely has a game plan every single time we go into a game. So yeah
okay. And one thing I think gets missed about your game is we do all talk, and I've made lots of jokes about your energy, but your game is far more than just the energy. And I think like your crossing ability, for example, is so underrated. And is that something that you work on in training? Because I think of the, you know, wherever Ty Sinclair got the header and you kind of crossed it first time, which is a real difficult skill to do. Is that something you work on? Is something you're getting better at? Or?
Yeah, no, you know, it's something I've always worked on. And it's something that I still want to improve on as well. But yeah, I just work on crossing. I stay out. I try to be the last one out in training and just try to give that 1% of crossing. And yeah, and Gaffer works on it with me as well. And he wants me to keep improving and get better. And yeah, I just pride myself in, you know, always improving. And yeah, that's what I try to do.
Great pass as well last night. I don't know. Sound like I'm kissing his ass all the way through, but I love him, he's a great player. Yeah, just so much like about your game that I just think has got better and better as the season's gone on. You mentioned in the podcast interview we did about your mum, and I wondered if she'd been back to the LNER, because you said she'd been to see you early on in the season. It must be really rewarding for her as well, because she'll have seen you go through those periods of rejection, and it must be really nice for her to come and see, you know, where you've got to really, and how the crowd appreciate it.
Yeah, she has. It's been difficult for me in terms of when I grew up, because my mum's always working. So when I was in the academy, I never really had my mum or dad. Even though they supported me when they can, they were always working and they had to. And the one time my mum did come to watch me play was when I received a scholarship, and she ended up getting sacked because she came to watch me. That's the only time. And then, yeah, so ever since then, I just knew what I had to do, and I just worked as hard as I can to try and push myself. And my mum came up against Dagenham, when we played Dagenham, And yeah, she loved it. I think she even cried as well, because you know it means a lot if you know what I've been through and stuff. So yeah, it's deeper. So I've got a long way to go, and I'm still pushing to work as hard for it as well. Yeah.
Great stuff. And you know, I wish you all the best for the season going forward, as I do Billy and Joe Felix, everyone. Thank you. So we're going to have a little interval now. I think we're going to get some bins out here, do some little halftime entertainment. If you want to come up to the front, you're more than welcome. Okay, next guest then. I think everyone in this room recognises how significant the week of the Altrincham defeat was. A few days later after that disaster, this man signed, and Adam managed to get his first stamp on the club, I think. And we can't understate how important this signing was. So please welcome Marvin Armstrong, everyone. So my first question is, I was doing so much research for this sort of stuff and come up with some right weird sort of rabbit holes really when you're going on the internet. And they were saying on Worthing's website when you signed that you were talent to emerge from the Croydon Collective. And I wondered if that was a football team or a boy band.
I played for Croydon FC, but I wasn't actually from Croydon. I think they thought I was, so I think there was a little confusion. I'm from probably just about 30 minutes from Croydon.
Right. So the Croydon Collective, was that just a term that they banded for certain?
They signed quite a few boys from the area that all kicked on to do well and play like in the EFL, so that's right. Probably why they used it.
Oh, fair enough. And 89 appearances for Worthing, including a promotion there. You must have loved your time, but it feels like we were talking earlier with Peter Vale. It was a real community club, wasn't it? It's similar to York, but on a smaller scale.
Yeah, a lot smaller, but yeah, like a family club, kind of like some fans would be there, even in training sessions and pre-season sessions, and because it's not as many people, you kind of know everyone. And obviously, I was there with the manager for 3 seasons, and I started my 4th, and then I got moved to Barnet a month into the season.
Yeah. And what was your high point at Worthing? Was it the promotion season?
Yeah, probably winning the league, because I went to Worthing from the league below, Step 4. So I kind of come in as like that Worthing move at that time was a big move for me. And then to get promoted out of that division that I'd always wanted to play in for such a long time, that meant a lot to me. Yeah. It's like progression for my career.
Yeah, and I can see that Adam is very methodical, you know, his attention to detail, such high standards. Worthing was obviously a part-time setup, but was he the same? Was it the sort of, almost you've got the exact same manager there?
All that's changed now is you're just with him more days of the week, but he was always the same, like tactician and strategist and genius that he is now.
Yeah. And when you were part-time, what sort of jobs did you have alongside football? I know that you've got your clothing brand as well, haven't you? Where did that sort of start?
My clothing brand, when I got to... I finished college 18, and I thought I'd always have signed like a professional contract by then. So then when I didn't sign one, I thought I failed. Like, that was the first time in my life I thought like I failed at something. So I said, I'm just going to try something else and just make sure I made that work. And in terms of jobs, I worked at Wembley actually as a waiter in like the boxes. I worked at Selfridges in like retail. I worked as like a part-time football coach. Some like bricklaying sort of work as well, just those sort of jobs really.
Yeah, and you got your move to Barnet like you said, and I look back on the interviews with Dean Brennan, and it seemed like he was tracking you for a long, long time. So how do you look back on your time with Barnet?
Yeah, it was a good time. I think when I first came in, he kind of just said like he sees me as like a long-term project. I went there when I was 23, but I didn't really have any experience at the level because that was my first professional contract. So it was a very senior group. So he trusted a lot of like senior players in the group, probably much more ahead of me. And he kind of felt like... he could be patient with me, even though obviously I've got my own aspirations and I want to kick on, and I was always like chomping at the bit. And but he always just said, be patient. And then in the end, I kind of lost heart a little bit, and I kind of fell down the pecking order in the second season. He got even better players and strengthened the team, so I kind of wasn't playing. So obviously, yeah, then I got the move to York, and I just thought, this is my opportunity to kick on now.
Yeah, and when Hinch came to York, did you immediately sort of think, oh, that would be good if you sort of came in for me, or was it a surprise that he went in to sign you? Or?
So last season, in the December, my agent mentioned York, And I was just like, no, like, I'm my kid's side. I've got my kid, he's not 1 year old yet, things like that. Like, I didn't want to leave London yet. But then closer to the end of the season, when I was just thinking about my career and I really need to think about my next steps, and York come in and I just saw like the size of the club, and the common denominator I've seen in this league is big clubs with big backing always progress, like Wrexham and Stockport. So I thought, when I first came to this level, I saw teams like Chesterfield, Wrexham. I thought, you know, that's probably the next step at this level, after coming to this level. So I thought, if I got the opportunity to do that, then it kind of just all aligned. And then the manager come here as well. So by the time when it come to March and they showed interest, I said, yeah, I've just got to take the risk and go.
Yeah. Do you think Hinch was the sort of deciding factor in that, Ben? That almost like the last box you needed to take?
I don't think I would have come if it wasn't for the manager. Because obviously I had my son in London and stuff. So it was a hard decision in that sense, but him being here made it a bit easier. Even though it's a hard decision, it made it a bit easier to make the decision.
Yeah. And your debut versus Aldershot, I remember saying on commentary at the time that I wondered how much you'd have in the tank, because I don't think you'd played for like about 2 or 3 months. And then, similar to sort of Joe Felix, I was thinking, where the hell is this lad getting his energy from, when you were sort of still, you know, got the same amount of energy in the last minute as you did the first?
Probably a bit of adrenaline, because it was such a good crowd. I don't know, because before the game, that's what I was thinking when I first signed. Oh, like, I wonder if he's going to just start me, because I actually hadn't played. And I think I started about 3 games that season, and that game was in last year, March. I hadn't started a game since 10th of January that year. So I was worried about how I would do fitness-wise, but I don't know, just the adrenaline of the occasion and just hunger just kept me going.
Yeah, and it was such a huge impact. I mean, I generally thought at one point you'd have the chance of getting player of the year in the fewest amount of appearances. The Bromley game was huge, wasn't it? Your first goal, and you and Dipper both scored tap-ins that day. Tough crowd. I know the Aldershot game was big, but winning at Bromley, did that sort of almost give the belief to the side that, you know, because the Aldershot game, you know, last minute goal, it was at home, but Bromley away, they were like obviously going for promotion themselves, but it was such a massive result.
So I remember when I first come here, I saw the fixture list and it was pretty tough. And then I remember the Friday, the night before the Bromley game, was at the hotel, and we were thinking, okay, like, well, we've done well versus Aldershot, but we've got Bromley, Chesterfield, Halifax. We basically had all the playoff teams to play, Solihull, basically all the playoff teams. So we're thinking, we need to get about 12 or 14 points at the time, and we were just like, I just have no clue how we get them. So to go obviously away to Bromley and win, that, I think that was probably the first moment where we actually thought, you know what, we can do something. And away from just winning, we was actually playing really good football. We actually outplayed them as well.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it was a great end to last season. And scoring against Barnet this season, did you feel like you sort of proved the points of them on that night?
Yeah, that's probably so far like the best moment of my career, just because I was so like far down the pecking order while I was there, especially right before I come here. And a few people before I come here was looking at me like I'm coming here to get relegated, so it was almost like a step backwards. So that was a really good like big moment for me in my career, just because of how far down I was in the pecking order there. And I always believed I was good enough, so just to score that goal and obviously win the game, that was like a big moment for me.
Yeah, and conversely, was it difficult for you in the Barnet game in the reverse fixture, sort of going back? Because I imagine you'd have been really pumped up and wanting to prove a point. It just wasn't our night, was it?
Yeah, it just wasn't our night. I think we were surprised with the intensity they played at and the style of play. Because the first game, it was like a football match, you can outplay each other. The second game was more like they were willing to fight, and they probably have the personnel to play that way better than we can. And we just never got into our rhythm. And I think, look, we've had a good season. It was just one of those days, and you just tip your hats off to them that they did well that day.
Yeah, and obviously you had a few games in and out of the side, and then strong performance at Rochdale and Wiltshire on Saturday. What's the mood in the camp like now? Does it feel like, I felt the second half against Rochdale was almost like the shackles were off, and you could see the confidence like ebbing through the players again. Is that kind of true?
So I think we just spoke internally about the last few games before Rochdale. We seemed a bit tentative and not playing to our strengths a bit. Like we almost like there was maybe a bit of pressure on us as a team, and the gaffer literally just told us, look, we're not here for no reason, we're in a very good place, and you wouldn't be here if you wasn't a good team. Just play with freedom and just do what you do best. And I think just hearing that, it probably just got such a good response from the players, because it is a good team, and if everyone's playing with freedom, it's only going to be better.
And competition for places in midfield as well. You know, do you think that it sort of raises your game? I look at the likes of sort of Paddy, Ricky, even Ashley now, and not even getting on the bench, and they're all real top players, aren't they? Does it sort of raise the standards with everyone?
Yes, I think with this scaffold, he has really high standards, and it's always about maintaining your level. So it's not like some clubs, I think you can get away with, you know, not really putting in much effort in training and stuff, but because the group is so good and there's so many players that could start a game and affect a game and win a game, that you just have to be on it all the time. But it does get the best out of you because you just maintain your high standards.
You mentioned before, but you get weighed every day.
Yeah, we get weighed every day. We do these like jumps to test our fatigue levels, gym every day, and yeah, train Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. So it's a good schedule.
Yeah, we need to pass it on to Steve ahead of his fun run. I saw someone the other day describe you as a full-blooded midfielder, and nothing showed that more than on Saturday when you absolutely wiped out Lewis Richardson. And the best moment for me was that you just carried on, didn't check he was all right. Did you realise it was him?
Yeah, obviously he was dribbling into the pitch.
Yeah, it was his fault. You carry on.
I was going forward, so I wanted to get a shot off. And I said, I'm going to shoot. And I thought he'd leave it because he's actually going away from the goal. And he carried on going. So, yeah, I didn't want to pull out because I could have had a shot.
Yeah.
And then I had to keep possession of the ball because you can't foul your own teammate. So.
Yeah. Oh, you convinced me now. Yeah, sodding. You know, I just wanted to finish by saying thank you for your contribution last season. I think, you know, Lenny's goal obviously was seen as the turning point, but I genuinely do think without you signing, I don't think we'd stay up last season. I mean, you had such a contribution to the whole, like, culture of the team and everything. And, yeah, just thank you. And I'm sure everyone else will want to thank you as well. Marvin Armstrong, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Our next guest, Met Depot, we had a bowling night, didn't we? It was like a networking event. So my uncle sponsors Depot's shirt, and his company's in the Midlands. He said, oh, well, you go along and playing Depot at bowling. I thought, this must be like what it's like for defenders, because he lulled us into a false sense of security. I thought, I'm going to fucking beat him at bowling. I'm crap. I never, you know. And then after that, about halfway through, he thought, stop this and just strike. So, yeah, Depot, can you hear me? One thing you said that night as well was Arsenal fan growing up. I think that's what you said. Is that right? So who was your idol? Who did you base your game on?
Thierry Henry was my idol.
Yeah, he was all right, wasn't he?
Yeah, decent.
He was decent. Potter's Bar Town, were they decent? That was where you started your career?
Yeah, so funny enough, I used to play against them on Saturdays with like my local Enfield club. And my cousin used to play for them, so I used to play them like every couple of weeks. And then there was just one summer, I didn't have a club. And they said, come and play for us in a friendly. Ended up scoring 5 goals. So they signed me on the day. And yeah, I just ended up playing for them till I was 18. I made my debut at 16 for the men's team, scored in my debut as well. So yeah, that's how my journey started.
And Stevenage as well, were you not 17 when you made your debut for them? Was it 17, 18?
Yeah, I was on the bench at 17 for them. I didn't get a pro after youth team, but they invited me back for pre-season. Scored quite a few goals in pre-season for them, so then I ended up playing for them a bit as well.
And even being on the bench for them at 17, you know, a lot in this day and age, there's a lot of skeptics in about, you know, young players, can they kind of compete physically with in sort of men's football? But obviously, people obviously have their trust in you to be able to do that.
Yeah, I've kind of been a big guy for most of my life, so yeah, I was quite big for my age, physically, but I hadn't been in and around professional football for a long time, so I had to learn pretty quickly. And yeah, it was tough, to be fair, because the manager that signed me ended up getting the sacking in January, and then I was sent on loan couple of times after that.
A few times, yeah.
Quite a few times. So it's quite big.
A couple of managers that you played for Stevenage, Teddy Sheringham, Peter Taylor as well. Just talk to us about them, because Peter Taylor, I think they gave David Beckham his debut, didn't he, as England manager, and Teddy Sheringham obviously had a fantastic career as well, and the striker.
Yeah, Teddy Sheringham was good. you know, I learned a lot from him in a sense of how to be a striker and, you know, how to strike the ball. You know, I never used to head the ball when I was younger. He taught me how to head the ball as well. And yeah, no, he gave me my first debut and stuff like that. So yeah, really a lot of thanks to him. Peter Taylor was a weird one because I was playing for Welling at the time, and then, you know, you see Peter Taylor coming through the door and you're thinking, what the hell? but yeah, he kind of like gave me hope of playing football professionally again, because at the time, you know, we just finished COVID, just had my son, and I'd come back to Welling pretty overweight, didn't really care. And then, you know, he literally said, well, if you're going to play for me, you're going to have to sort yourself out. So I wasn't starting for like 3 or 4 weeks. And then, yeah, I just got myself right. And then I think from January to the end of the season, ended up scoring 15 for Welling to keep us from getting relegated. So, yeah, no, it was pretty good.
Pretty good return from January to May to 15. You mentioned there about a lot of loan spells. Were they? Do you look back on them and think they were really good for your development and your character of your game?
Some of them were, some of them weren't. The first few felt like punishment from the new the manager that was there. He just sent me anywhere. I didn't really know. I just came in and he said, "Yeah, this is where you're going," and you don't really ever say. I think the other few, places like Bishop Stortford, the assistant manager that was with Teddy Sherman was a manager there, so right. That was better for me. Dulwich was good because it's one of the bigger non-league clubs at the time, and they get quite a few fans there as well, which is pretty good. And, you know, they play football. They're one of the non-league sides that play pretty good football, so I really enjoyed my time there as well.
And Dulwich... I noticed that they, again, when I was sort of doing research for this, that they hold you in such high regard because you scored the winning penalty, I think, that got them into the Conference South, is that right?
Yeah, so we had fumbled. They was doing well, we fumbled the league, had to play in the semi-finals and in the finals. And at the time, there was so much going on off the pitch. We'd been kicked out of our stadium and we was playing at 2 in a mention them at the time. But yeah, when I came in, I just had a little small role to play. I just remember taking that penalty. And then, yeah, no, it was a really, really good time. It was probably one of my better times.
Right.
I really enjoyed that.
And the you mentioned about the COVID years. It must have been hard being at that level, you know, not having the protection that clubs would have done higher up the pyramid. So how did you stay motivated and stay fit? Or were you saying there that you found it a struggle to do that?
Yeah, the first few seasons when it starts, you know, you start the season and then they end up cutting off. I think the first COVID cut-off didn't really do much. Lots of PlayStation. didn't really get to do much, actually. It was just really at home. I think that one was more serious than the second one. But, yeah, it was tough. You have to find, like, jobs, part-time jobs, full-time jobs, as well as... you know, hoping that football returns. You don't get the protection of contracts because you're non-contracts then, so you're kind of hoping that, you know, have stuff like universal credit and stuff like that kind of helps you. But yeah, no, it was tough.
And you said part-time jobs there. I think delivery driver at one point. What
yeah,
so you might have mentioned a lot of jobs there.
I was delivery on my pedal bike. I worked at Bart, William Hill. That was tough. Some weird people in there. I did Argos delivery. I did Amazon delivery. Yeah, anything I could get my hands on. I did some coaching in some schools here and there. Yeah.
Now you're going to deliver his promotion.
Hopefully.
Great spell at Welling, like you said, and then joined Ayr. I mean, that's quite a left field move, isn't it? You played most of your career in the South, and then all of a sudden you're in Scotland. How did that move come about?
We had Welling kept them up and had a few like offers from like National League semi part-time clubs, and I was like, I just want to play football like every day. I just want it to be my focus. And I'd seen a few boys from down south had kind of gone to Scotland at the time, So when I got the offer from there, I was like, whoa, this is a bit far.
You Google map it?
Yeah, it was very far. But I just, you know, took a leap of faith, and I just went. I remember, you know, telling my partner, I was like, we're going. So yeah, just ended up in Scotland, and it was a blessing in disguise because I kind of like couldn't really focus on football, no distractions. You know, all I could really focus on was just the football. So
yeah. And you did incredibly well, didn't you? I think you didn't score for the first five, but then like 24 goals in the next 40 games, top scorer for the whole division, hat-trick against Queen's Park, PFA Championship Player of the Month twice, Championship Player of the Year. I mean, what an incredible year. You must look back on that with such fondness. It must obviously have been a real purple patch that season for you in front of goal.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first five, I mean, in Scotland it's a bit different. You play like a cup game as pre-season games almost, so you know I was just my body was just adjusting to full-time football, then trying to find my feet for the, you know, scoring goals again. I was hitting the post, the bar, and then I just said to them, I used to say like, once I get my first one and my confidence is high, then they'll just start falling through, and yeah, that's literally what happened. I think that's when I accepted that I'm good enough to play full-time football again. You know, I'm physically in good shape, and the rest is history, really.
Yeah, and if anyone, you know, wants to check out his goals montage from air, it's well worth a watch. Some stunning strikes. You signed for York for a record fee. I would imagine there must have been some clubs in Scotland as well who would have wanted to keep you up there, maybe in the Scottish Premier League. What was it about York's interest that made you sign for us?
I had bits and bobs from Scotland, nothing really concrete. Scotland's a bit different because unless you're Celtic or Rangers, nobody really has money or doesn't want to really pay the fee. They rarely do. They usually go and, you know, get plays for free, or, you know, they pay a bit less than what you're paid. But I think it was just the size of the club, really. Obviously, at the time I'd spoken to Stockdale, who was here, and it was just, it's a bit closer to London as well. It's a bit closer to London as well, a bit warmer than Scotland. But there was just something about it that I just thought, you know, this is where I wanted to come. I saw the stadium as well, you know, a lot of good things, and yeah, just I think that was just the best decision for me.
Yeah, and did you feel any pressure with the fee? I don't know what it's like for footballers when someone's paid a lot of money for you, but it must have been a good feeling to know that a team of ambition sort of saw you as one of their marquee signings.
Yeah, no, it was a great feeling. I mean, it's not my money, so all I have to do is play football. Yeah, so I think, you know, obviously it does come with a lot of expectations, but I think when you come here full of confidence after the year I had at Scotland, and, you know, I scored my debut for York, you just kind of silence all the critics, kind of, yeah. Everyone kind of said, well, he knows where the goal is and stuff like that, which is good.
Definitely, and such a topsy-turvy season, wasn't it, last season? Three different managers, but you scored 15 goals in an underachieving side. Did you have sort of goal targets before the season starts?
Yeah, no, I usually do have a goal target. Don't tell anyone, because I don't want to jinx myself. But I had a goal target. Sometimes it alters depending on, obviously, the situation we was in with that team last season. But it's just more of a confidence thing. I usually try and aim for double figures and then go from there. Even in assists, hopefully try and get there as well. But yeah, no, that season was a weird one. It's one of the weirder ones in my career. Three managers, 40-odd players. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I wanted to discuss some of the sort of favourite goals of mine that you scored last season. Probably aware, you know, I joked earlier about it being a tapping. Was that goal, was that just pure instinct? Was that you were feeling confident. What is it one of the best goals of your career?
It's up there. It's definitely up there. It's probably top five in terms of, I think the importance of that goal kind of was really important for us. I think the goal at Chesterfield was also very good, I think, for the team morale. And then the Woking one at home, kind of like sealing
up. That's the free I've got written here, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good one as well, so.
But again, with the Woking one, you know, I know Lenny sort of lays it off in your path, doesn't he? And yeah. Are you sort of like premeditated with stuff like that? Are you sort of knowing, right, as soon as this drops, I'm going to smash this, or are you...
I'm pure instinct. All of my finishes is just off instinct. And in the time, I kind of freeze frame wherever I am, kind of just where I'm going to put it or how I hear. But I don't really, you know, I don't really think about what direction I'm going to hit until I'm put in that position.
Right.
Obviously, in training, you practice different kinds of finishing, but not everything's going to lay for you. So. Yeah, I think most strikers kind of, you know, work off instinct, like the Bromley goal, it bounces. I just glance up at the second and see that the keeper's possibly off his line. I'm like, I'm just going to try and lob him here.
Yeah, and the reason I ask that is because I think there was one earlier on in the season, one of your first goals, I think, at LNER, where you went clean through and you went to shoot and the keeper sort of sat on his ass and you put it in the other corner. I didn't know whether that was because you were... had that thought process that, right, if I go clean through, that's what I'm going to do, or is it, again, is that just...
Yeah, that's another one. I think, you know, I think a lot of keepers kind of fear 1v1s and stuff like that, so I think if you kind of jink them, it's like a cat and mouse game, if you jink them, they kind of dive, or, you know, if he had stood straight, then I might have had to push it past him and then tap it in, but he went down and then just passed into net.
Yeah. And coming back to this season, I think we all thought you were out for the season. I think there was sort of, you know, Deepo's going to be injured the rest of the campaign. We won't see him again. Was it a mentality thing for you to get back? That you was it? You know, the injury wasn't quite as bad as first feared. You just seemed to appear, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it was bad. I mean, I saw a knee specialist, had loads of scans, and they basically said, you know, you have two options, you either have an op or, you know, you kind of just let it heal by itself. But lucky for me, my knee wasn't as destroyed as I thought it was. There was still a bit of strength and structure in there. So yeah, I just said, you know, we'll just let it heal, strengthen it and see where it goes from there. And yeah, it just kind of helped me, really, I think. It kind of gave me confidence when I was able to, like, you know, do the lifting and the gym work, and then you're just steady on, and then you're kind of playing free from there. And yeah, just happy to give my part for the end of the season, really.
Yeah. And what are you like when you are injured? Are you someone who struggles with, you know, Saturday comes at 3 o'clock and you're on the sidelines? What's it like?
The first 2 weeks, I'm upped about.
PlayStation
and ice cream, that was it. But then you kind of just get back on your horse and you're like, well, let's get back to it. And it's really tough when you're inside the gym and then you're looking out the window and seeing all the boys playing and you're like, I just want to get back out there and train again and play games. And then on a Saturday as well, you know, you're watching the team and you're thinking, oh, I could have been in that position and stuff like that. But, you know, everything has time and everyone has a purpose. And I think my purpose is just to do my part for this part of the season.
Get to double figures before end of the season. We've got it recorded now. You said your target. And obviously to come back at Rochdale was a great cameo, wasn't it? It must have been a great feeling to be back amongst the lads and then get on the pitch. And that pass for Ryan's goal, I mean, he wiped out about five defenders, I think. It was something that we've not probably seen from him before. So is that... can we see you in creative midfield role before the end of the season?
Creative, I don't know. Let me play there. But I've always kind of, you know, on the slide, just had an eye for them sort of passes. I used to watch Ozil do that all the time for Arsenal and stuff like that. So, and stuff like the trivia pass, you know. I just see a few attacking midfielders do it and I just thought, you know, I'll try those stuff sometimes. And sometimes they come off, sometimes they don't. But if you don't try, you will never know. So that's really how I think about when I am, you know, in them sort of positions. How would I like to receive the ball if I was in, you know, Ryan's position? And that's just how I thought of it.
Yeah, and this season you've had to play a fair bit out wide, haven't you? But you've scored 40 goals in two seasons up front, haven't you, before this one?
Yeah.
Are you happy to play where you're told? Are you quite happy to play out wide? Or is there a part of you that thinks, no, up front is my best position? What do you think?
I do think up front is my best position. I wouldn't have scored 40 goals in two seasons if I didn't think that. But I think I have a role to play this season. You know, if it gets us promoted, then I think it works. But no, if Gaffer trusts me to play on the left, I'll play on the left and I'll try and do my best regardless. But yeah, me personally, I do think, you know, my strongest position is playing as a nine. But I have no issues playing on the left or the right.
Yeah, fair enough. And obviously some rumours in the last season that you're going to be moving on, and again this season. Feel free to not go into that, but are you happy at York City? I think you've got another year after this, is that right, in your contract?
I love York. I think the city's brilliant, you know, the fans are brilliant. I've got a lot of support from the club, the owners, the manager, so, you know, football will always have, you know, you always have speculations and, you know, interest from other clubs and stuff like that. It's just how you handle it. And it just kind of toots my horn, makes me feel like I'm a good player. So
definitely a good player. I mean, regardless of the future, I just hope that you have a real impact these last few months. And we all know that when you're fit and firing, it's only an asset to York City. So, yeah. Deepak Kanyemi, everyone.
Thank you.